time, weather, and...
Across the UK, at least 10 people were killed as trees snapped and walls collapsed. On the roads, heavy-duty trucks were blown over like toys.
The storm has delivered a giant surprise to residents of Malibu.
Wet snow, very packable snow.
For the first time in its history, virtually the entire rail network was shut.
It's bad.
Hundreds of utility poles have snapped in half.
It's the worst thing we've ever seen, really. No power anywhere.
In the Dutch port of Rotterdam, a major alert was sparked after a ship broke loose from its moorings, smashing an oil pipeline. The stench was carried across the Netherlands.
On the roads, heavy-duty trucks were blown over like toys.
This storm has torn across northern Europe, leaving chaos and death in its wake.
Missouri's governor says this is the worst natural disaster in his state's history.
And the same storm whipping up fierce winds in Switzerland, powerful enough to knock a locomotive and several cars right off the rails.
The storm is now sweeping northward into Scandinavia and eastwards towards Poland.
Winds reaching 100 miles an hour battered the coastline, causing significant damage.
And backing up traffic for miles.
I've seen this thing get shut down, but never like this. It's never been this bad.
Devastation is also piled up on roads from Texas to North Carolina. Since Friday, at least 66 people in 9 states have been killed in storm-related deaths, many in car accidents.
And they always find a chorus of meteorologists to claim, well, no, it's not climate change. Sometimes things just get stormy. Maybe it's El Nino. Maybe it's spots on the sun. Maybe it's HARP coming out of Alaska. Anything but climate change. This is Alex Smith of Radio EcoShock reporting on the new stormy future, what we should worry about when it comes to climate change and storms.
The meteorologists warn against drawing an immediate link between these extreme weather conditions and the effects of climate change.
Do these media reports worry you? Take a deep breath. Humans are hardwired to fear extreme climate events. And not just humans. My big German Shepherd dog always headed into the bathtub with every bolt of lightning, even though she was relatively safe inside the house. Mammals instinctively don't like big windstorms, big piles of snow, or big waves crashing against the shore. These are not just the first big storms. A trio of storms that hit Europe in 1999 were worse than the January blow and killed more people. History still remembers violent weather there in the 1300s. People thought those storms were caused by God due to our sins rather than climate change. Our only remedy for this natural fear and our religious reactions to it is science. The problem is, now the science is scarier than Jove or Jehovah. The new mantra goes like this. Meteorologists say you cannot prove this latest strong weather came from climate change. Weather's unpredictable, they say. Which makes me wonder, why do we bother paying all those high salaries for the forecasters in the first place? Climate scientists agree the causes of a specific storm cannot be certain, but the long-term impacts of the atmosphere are predictable. The Earth will get hotter. A lot of that heat will be soaked up by the oceans. Warmer oceans mean more water gets sucked up into the atmosphere, causing more violent precipitation, which could be rain or snow. The hotter oceans also add more power to existing storms. We may not get more storms, but those that do form will be stronger. Nobody needs to be reminded that all kinds of hurricane records were set in 2005. Hurricane Wilma was the biggest ever recorded, and Katrina the most damaging to a developed city. There were so many hurricanes, the weather experts ran out of internationally accepted names for them. Then 2006 was relatively quiet. Again, the studies of long-term records by people like Carrie Emanuel show we may not have more storms, but they will be more powerful. What does it all mean? Let's make a couple of homespun observations about this recent series of storms.
And tonight, this massive storm running the length of the country continues to dump snow, ice, and freezing rain.
Number one, this was a transcontinental storm. Within the same week, Weird and wild weather stretched all the way from California to New England and hit England, Scandinavia, and all of Europe from west to east.
What's unusual about this storm is that it will affect all of Germany and not just certain zones. That is a very rare event.
Most of the Northern Hemisphere was engulfed in an extreme weather event. That is worth worrying about. As the climate becomes destabilized by carbon emissions and various feedbacks, is it possible we may see global storms? Just think about what this might mean to the economy and how limited rescue efforts might be in the future superstorm.
And there's no word from the electricity companies when the power will be back.
Observation number two, the European storm was not a hurricane. Hurricanes and their tropical counterparts, the typhoons, involve a spinning mass of air and water. The speed and damage of the wind depend upon rotation around a central vortex. But the blast that hit Europe was described as a river of wind crossing the continent. It was almost as though the jet stream had dipped down to Earth, blowing along the surface at over 100 miles an hour. That is the sort of science fiction scenario described in the 1994 book Heavy Weather by Bruce Sterling. Following a period of industrial damage to the Earth's atmosphere, a more or less permanent storm developed in the U.S. Midwest, a new category beyond our current ranking system. Here in the real world, meteorologists are already discussing the need to add a new class, the F6 hurricane, to top the existing worst-case F5 type. With climate change, they expect storms stronger than anything humans have seen in the last 10,000 years. But again, the rest of us have to wonder if the jet stream will not become a bigger factor for the Northern Hemisphere. When we looked at the big satellite pictures and maps, there was a strong line running right across the southern half of North America and then jagging up toward Europe. Are disturbances to the jet stream linked to the transcontinental storms like the ones we just experienced? More science has to investigate that.
In California, five straight nights of freezing temperatures threatened to destroy 75% of the state's billion-dollar citrus crop.
If we're a total loss from this point, we would have lost $700 million.
Observation three, North Americans already know the price of their fruits and vegetables will go up in the next few weeks. That is because up to 75% of the fruit and winter vegetables for North America come from just a few valleys in Southern California. Those valleys were hit by freezing temperatures that put ice around the crops when only 30% had been harvested. Governor Schwarzenegger estimated a $1 billion loss for the citrus industry alone. The point is, climate instability will damage the world's ability to feed itself. Higher prices for oranges are only an inconvenience for the rich, but the poorest people will starve by the millions as rising temperatures, storms, and reduced water supplies reduce our output of wheat, corn, and rice. Lester Brown of the Earth Policy Institute says a change of just a half a degree could reduce the rice crop by 20%. And we are going to get a lot more than that, perhaps 2 to 5 degrees change. The storm is an early warning about the coming food deficit as climate destabilizes agriculture. It's nature's way of telling you. What do we learn from these storms? Our energy and transportation systems are complicated and delicate. They need to be storm-proofed, but that's a giant economic project, taking decades. Can we afford it economically? Can we do it? These are all direct costs brought on by climate change through fossil fuels. Countries that adapt may stumble through. Those who don't react to the new climate imperative will fail. Business and personal lives will be repeatedly interrupted by jagged, damaging power outages. It's hard to say how people will react. Like passengers rushing to the high side of a boat, there has been a stampede of political pronouncements on climate change action. Ultra-conservatives, even big oil companies, are saying it is time to act. The media are developing climate change desks, and newspapers devote whole features to it. It's the hot topic, for now. Of course, humans have a notoriously short attention span. Soon we'll all be sick of hearing about it, and the big media spotlight will move on to some other celebrity scandal or war. Meanwhile, on the more local level, millions of homeowners are eyeing the beloved trees around their yard and street much more suspiciously. We can already hear the chainsaws humming to cut down big trees before they fall on the family home or municipal building. We'll denude our cities, chopping out our best smog protectors just to be safe from the new 21st century winds.
Hundreds of utility poles have snapped in half.
Expect another big push to move more power lines underground. Our old system of poles and pylons are not ready for jet stream-like winds at ground level. We can't function without our electric juice, so main transmission lines and common street distribution systems may go underground just to keep the lights on. We may say some oceanside real estate will go down in value or be relegated to seasonal use only. Storm surges will wipe out billions of dollars in value, and insurance will be impossible to get. That's already happening. We may have to put most of the state of Florida in that category. One more conclusion. As the decade progresses, the price of food will continue to escalate from a minor budget item to something as large as the mortgage. The ocean grabs enough heat to act like a 30-year buffer. Our current climate troubles come from carbon dioxide and other greenhouse gas emissions from the late 1970s. But experts estimate half our greenhouse gas emissions went into the atmosphere since 1970. That means you ain't seen nothing yet. It also means that all the new clean energy we add now and all the CO2 we manage to conserve or reduce will have no impact until about 2036. For the first time in our recent consumerist history, we will have to act for the next generation, even though there is no direct benefit for ourselves. Can we do it? Or will we party like it's 1999? It's true we can't blame one storm on climate change, but we do know some storms will be much worse because of global warming. Those extreme events may finally spook the herd into action. In the meantime, I also think that meteorologists are just humans too. When older people tell newscasters, "I've never seen anything like this," when new records are set, when the German train system closes down for the first time, hell, they didn't even close the whole system when it was being bombed in World War II. The rest of us are not overreacting. Nature is trying to tell us something. We are doing something wrong, and it isn't mystical or religious. It is factual, measurable, and all powered by fossil fuels. This is Alex Smith reporting from Radio EcoShock. Try our full-time environmental radio station for free on the net at www.ecoshock.org or subscribe to our free podcast.
But this storm that used to happen once every century could come once every 10 years, and maybe more often than that.
You could expect significant flooding every 2 years. So those are the changes that we are seeing for the future.
An abandoned cargo ship loaded with hazardous materials is being battered by stormy seas in the English Channel. French and British tugboats are trying to prevent the vessel from going under and creating a massive chemical spill.